Well, there's certainly much occurring in this country and around the world, and we could well focus our attention on that. But I trust that we have that assurance that God is our strength, our shield, and in Him we have can trust, and in Him we have our security. So thinking on those lines, I thought, well, we just keep on feeding on the Word of God and growing thereby. And so we would just continue on looking at the teaching that is pertinent to our everyday living, that we might grow. And, of course, healthy individuals, well, we can say healthy sheep produce lambs. And so the same concept that we will be about God's commission to us in teaching all nations, making disciples of all nations, and sharing the gospel in that process when we're in a right state walking with the Lord. And so part of that is our everyday living, and of course part of our everyday living is our in general our family. And I'd like to just continue on with this series that we've been looking at this morning on your home. And we're at part 7, and this morning we're going to consider communication. This wasn't in my original list, but I thought, having spoken about and considered the God-given roles of husband and the wife, which are by their very design, God's design, closely intertwined with each other. Of course, at the institution of marriage, back in Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So I thought we'll continue on in seeing what God has for us in His Word. Let's pray first. Precious Father, we thank You for Your Word this morning. We thank You that it is powerful, it is sharp, and it accomplishes that which You desire. It discerns the thoughts and intents of our hearts. We pray, Father, that by the ministry of the Holy Spirit and through the power of Your Word, that we might be a people who are formed in the likeness of Christ as we respond to that which You have to teach us. We ask we might have not only receptive, ready minds, but hearts that are seeking after You and Your Word and Your way. We ask our Saviour's name. Amen. Well, I guess the key verse that I'd like to present this morning is Proverbs 4:23. It says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." We'll go through later and we'll see there are many references to communication in Proverbs. In fact, Proverbs is probably the one book that's the richest in all that, and particular chapters like 16 and so on. So this oneness can soon deteriorate. We speak of this oneness of in marriage, this relationship of the like there's none other that there is in marriage, and this oneness can soon deteriorate or may not even be attained without a determination by both husband and wife. And of course, an important area of that maintenance is communication. Communication may seem a very technical and somewhat objective term to use in regards to marriage, but in marriage, it is a process that touches at the very heart of the relationship. In fact, I suggest that a couple's communication can often indicate the depth of their marriage relationship as well. Couples before marriage, we see, seem to be consumed and with communicating, and life just would not be possible without telephones and texts and emails and so on. But that communication that is so rich and full can easily, under normal pressures of life and family, can turn from a flood to a trickle. And that's what we need to be attentive to, is what has God got to teach us in this regard. Now, these principles we're talking about in marriage between husband and wife, of course, but these are principles of communication that apply to us all, no matter where we're at, and certainly within the local church, and certainly in our friendships and our relationship with saints and so on. So please take the principles and see what God has for us. What is communication? Some definitions are always good to have a look at. Oxford, our authority, says, "To impart, transmit such things as feeling, news, discovery, to share with, to receive, to administer." Random House Dictionary of the English Language says to give or interchange thoughts, feelings, information, or the like by writing, speaking, etc. These indicate that communication goes beyond the mere transfer of information, much, much beyond just communicating information. Rule Howe, who's the author of The Miracle of Dialogue, said, communication occurs whenever there is a meeting of meaning between two or more persons. A meeting of meaning. Interesting. He says, dialogue is an interaction between persons in which one seeks to give himself as he is and seeks to know the other as the other is. I think that's getting very close to what we're talking about in this matter of communication in marriage. Dialogue is an interaction between persons in which one seeks to give himself as he is and seeks to know the other as the other is. Yeah, the scripture teaches us the basis of communication, or the key to true communication, is of course our relationship with God. And it is only our walking in the light and thus in a right relationship with God that we can have true and honest communication. Outside of that, we would fail. And we can say that this, whilst this is a general principle, it is never so true in the marriage relationship. There's a verse that sheds light on that, if you like, to use a pun. John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's a lot in that verse, and I think we can see that verse and look at it in the aspect of the communication. We see that to walk in the light is to walk in fellowship with and under the direction of the Lord. And this also means to walk in transparency before God and man. And so we see that walking in that manner is that which pertains a fellowship one with another. And that fellowship one with another is clearly and closely connected with our relationship with God. Having the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, the Son cleanseth us from all sin. Henry Brandt, also an author of a teaching on the family, says, to communicate means to overcome the desire to conceal feelings and thoughts and to rise to the level of honesty of expression. And so we see that in 1 John 1:7, that transparency. This level of communication is afforded to those in Christ, and it is founded upon our having no barriers in our relationship with him, with the Lord first, and thus no barriers in our relationship one with another. So we see the very principle of effective communication comes right back to our, if you like, communication with God, our relationship with him. So think about some of the things that is needed for true communication. There's lots of communication, but not a lot of true communication. First of all, I suggest we recognise the spiritual foundation, and we've already touched on that just a few minutes ago, but the spiritual foundation of communication. In his book, David Sorensen, who some have read, his book, Have a Heavenly Marriage, he puts forward the position in chapter 3 that the issues of life are not economics, not government, or even corrupt government, not education, but are fundamentally spiritual. And no less the case with communication. The decisions we make and the manner in which we choose to carry them out are a spiritual issue. Those decisions are really, and directions are really, a choice of the heart. It comes back. So our relationship with God is a matter of the heart, and also our relationship with one another is a matter of the heart, and our relationship in marriage is a matter of the heart, and we can't get away from that principle, that issue. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, remember, for out of it are the issues of life. These are spiritual issues. Matthew 15:18, the Lord says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. So we see our communication, particularly our verbal communication, is that which comes forth from the heart. So here in this passage, our Lord is speaking of evil things. He goes on to say, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, and so on. And he says these are they which defile the man. But then in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, he says, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So he speaks of the good and evil of communication is directly related and dependent on the condition of the heart. Yeah, we could say our communication is not according to the state of the art, but according to the state of the heart. And I think that's something we might keep in mind. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, similar to that in Matthew, bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, that's an interesting word, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. That which fills the heart is that which produces the words that come out of the mouth or the communication. So if we seek to have sound communication in our marriage, then we must have sound spiritual hearts. We would never expect to get clean water out of a dirty reservoir, would we? I mean, during the drought, if you travel around the country at all, you see these what were lakes and vast, you know, water reservoirs down to a little puddle. I remember some time ago, I drove out to Burke and down into, well, I actually went to Lake Menindi first, but Lake Menindi is a great valley that I looked at, and there was this little pond of water they pumped out to supply, I think, the water supply to it's not Burke, Broken Hill. Got my geography wrong. To Broken Hill. But now I understand that whole valley is full in a big lake. But that water, you think, wow, yeah, who'd be wanting to drink that? That puddle of water. How can you get clean water out of a dirty reservoir? And so we can't expect our communication to be any different to the condition or state of our heart. First, ensure the source of our communication, our heart, is right before God, and our communication will wonderfully fall into line. We should make David's plea our plea. Psalm 51:10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That should be a daily prayer. Create in me a clean heart, for out of the heart the mouth speaketh. Good communication will be part of our marriage when our heart's desire and our heart's determination is to be all that God desires and purposes us to be. So second thought is to recognise the importance of communication. Amos 3:3, we've referred to this book before, can two walk together except they be agreed? How can there be agreement if communication is lacking? If there's a failure in communication, then how can there be agreement? Then if there's no agreement, how can you walk together? So it fits together. Philippians 2 says in verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, and note some of these words, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels or a heart of compassion, that really is, and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, that nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, that each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. There's a lot in those few verses, and they certainly are principles that apply to us all, and certainly apply to us as a church, but they certainly are applicable in the family. So consider these points. They are crucial to our communication. One of the dangers of marriage is it can become a side-by-side relationship, and so that these things aren't happening. So just remind us of what was said in Philippians. The communication would be a comfort of love, fellowship of the Spirit, a heart of compassion, merciful, like-minded, the same love, similar thought, of one accord, being of one mind, and then, of course, having the mind of Christ. Let the mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. And as I said, yeah, one of the dangers of marriage is it can become a side-by-side relationship, lacking any meaningful communication. If there's husband and wife and there's no communication between it, then it becomes a side-by-side relationship. But you want it to be welded together, bonded together, and part of that is by communication. So with each endeavouring to fulfil their role but never functioning in the true sense of being one and being a complementary relationship. And part of being that complementary relationship requires communication. This passage speaking of being like-minded, having same love, one accord, and so as we've looked at, one mind, is far beyond a side-by-side relationship. It's not speaking of that. Its communication is far beyond the children or the home or work or the shopping. It's that closeness of communication between two people, husband and wife. The need is to communicate according to verse 5. Let this mind be in you. This is a Christ-centered mind and a mind like Christ. And that will be formed as we are formed into his image. We'll allow God to do that work. And now Paul spoke of this in 1 Corinthians 1:10. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." Now, of course, Paul here is addressing the saints at Corinth in this context, but the principle very much applies to the marriage relationship, that we be perfectly joined together. We see that principle, that matter of being one, in the same mind and in the same judgment. And this will come about only by genuine communication. Now, don't be confused by this. We're not talking about uniformity. This is talking about unity. There's a big difference between uniformity and unity. One definition comes out. The key difference between unity and uniformity is their acceptance of differences. When there is unity, people tend to tolerate and accept differences. But uniformity implies that everyone is alike, and there is no room for differences. Well, that's not what we're talking about in this aspect of communication. There is certainly to be a unity, and there's not pressing for a uniformity. And, of course, if there are no divisions, what do we have? We have agreement. When each one has the desire to know, to listen, to understand, we are in the right position to build a strong bridge of two-way communication. The third thing I want to share with you this morning is the hindrances of communication. There's always a hindrance in there. There's always barriers. There's always opposition. There's always difficulties. I mean, our daily Christian life is a spiritual battle within and without. And it's not just a sail along. It is a matter of determination and to live for Christ and to deal with those things which are displeasing and so on. Well, so it is in our communications. There can be a lack of desire or a lack of determination. Proverbs 13:4 says, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." Now, we apply that principle to communication. The soul of the sluggard has a desire to have good communication, but never accomplishes it. But the soul of the diligent shall have that richness of communication in Christ. Communication is not automatic. It is not a default position. It will take an appreciation of its value to embark on something that will require such an effort and determination. If we're not convinced about it, we'll never pursue it. We won't do it. But if we're convinced of the value and the importance that we see from Scripture of communication as a general principle, but certainly between husband and wife, we'll then have a determination to pursue it and practice it. So if we desire a close marriage relationship, then that desire can only be realized in a determination and a commitment to apply God's teaching on communication. It all goes hand in hand. Another aspect of hindrance is the risk of rejection. You know, to open up, completely open up, in honest, transparent communication, particularly for husband and wife, in that close relationship, is, in a sense, risky. If your husband or your wife attempts to address a matter that they consider important, and you treat it lightly or superficially, or tend to dismiss it, you know what you've done? You've just built a barrier, a barrier to any further close communication. To truly open up to one another has a certain aspect of risk. One fellow said, if I tell you who I am, you may not like who I am, and that is all that I have. And so we see an essence of risk, but we must be willing to do that, to have that closeness of relationship which is constructed, if you like, by our communication. It requires my willingness to reveal myself. And this will require commitment, it will require courage, because I'm never sure of how the other will respond. We know each other, and in marriage, you know each other well, but there's always a reluctance, but we should do away with that. If we are not willing to take the risk, we will never reach the level of communication God intended for our marriage relationship. And in some ways, it's a revelation or a test of our love for one another to be able to do that. An American judge, John Warren Hill, and this is certainly some years ago now, probably 40 more plus years ago, reported on 250,000 cases of marital failure. Had a lot of cases. 250,000 cases of marital failure. Of course, this is in the States. And these cases came before the court. He came to the conclusion that bottled up resentments constitute one of the greatest dangers to marriage. But he also concluded that to work through these, the marriage must be on a firm foundation of love and unselfishness. Well, isn't that what the scripture talks about, isn't it? Henry Brandt, again in his book on Building a Christian Home, reports that 85% of couples that came to him for marriage counselling had failure of communication as their primary problem. Other problems, but the primary problem was a failure to communicate. 85% of them that came to him for counselling. He also wrote that communication ceases when the need to conceal becomes stronger than the desire for unity. Interesting. Take that again. Communication ceases when the need to conceal becomes stronger than the desire for unity. He also said a happy marriage is not possible without communication, which reveals with reasonable certainty how the other feels about a given action or situation. Well, we get the picture. There is need for an openness, and that without that, it becomes there is a barrier. Thirdly, the failure to understand the differences is another aspect in communication. 1 Peter 3:7 says, and we know this well, don't we? Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. At the minimum, this verse indicates that there is a difference between us and our spouse. There's a difference between the husband and the wife. This difference goes far beyond the physical, of course. God has made us different. We have different roles, and we need to be able to make the effort to be mindful of these differences when we are communicating. By way of an illustration, it's quite some years ago, I had the opportunity to speak to quite a number of what we call grey nomads at a grey nomad campsite. It was a common point in the conversation, as talked to quite a number of them, that the husband was more than willing to keep on the road travelling, but more often than not, the wife had enough and wanted to go back home. Why? Because God designed women to be homemakers, and generally that is pretty difficult to do, travelling in a van surrounded by red dust. So an understanding of the difference in the God's design and understanding the difference in the roles of one another is so important in communication. These differences show up the difference of purpose in the conversation of men and women also. Now, I know this is a generalization, but a wife will often talk to just express her feelings, whereas a man will generally talk to communicate information. And there's a big difference between the two. We could label this as part of her God-designed subjective nature and his God-designed objective nature, if you like. So we see, husbands, when your wife is relating to you how she feels, she's not expecting you to solve the world's problems. She's just communicating her feelings. She's looking, in a sense, for a sympathetic listener. When a husband is giving a solution to what he sees as a problem, and the wife may not quite see it as much, he's not criticizing his wife. He's objectively using his God-given natural problem-solving skills to improve or help a situation. So, yes, we need to understand the differences for effective communication. Another barrier to be aware of, not listening. This is a problem in all our communication. You try talking to children and often it doesn't get through because they're just not listening. Anyway, we may respond to this by saying, yes, yes, I do listen. But do we really? Communication is not always verbal, we know. Attitudes may be expressed by a smile, a frown, a shrug of the shoulders and so on. Body language is a powerful communicator and we need to be carefully listening by attentively watching. You know, we've heard the saying, if you tied their hands behind the back, they wouldn't be able to talk. This communication goes far beyond the words that are flowing out of the lips. Emotional overtones also come into the equation when there is evidence of hurt or anger or bitterness or frustration or discouragement, feeling down. We need to pick up on these and we can respond more to the situation than just to the words that are being spoken. Be slow and careful in our response. Proverbs is just full of instruction, godly instruction on communication. Proverbs 29:20 says, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him." Similarly, Proverbs 18:13, "He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." So be careful, be slow in responding. Never fall in the trap of tuning out. Do we do that? Anyone tune out? You're listening now or you tuned out? A husband comes home and talks about a problem at work. The wife has heard this before. She tunes out. However, there's a problem. This time it really is a problem. And he is experiencing seriously difficulty and he does need his wife to listen. Or, husband, your wife tells you about visiting a friend's place and the husband goes, click, and hits the off button. But at this time, the wife is really in need of some support and encouragement from him, and he's lost the opportunity. So we must realize that whether it be light chatter or serious problems, it is important to our spouse that we listen. Just a little bit on that, by the way. Beware of having continuous running TVs in the room. They always produce a certain degree of tuning out. And at the least, do stifle true communication. So look at the things that are going to hinder your depth of communication. I suppose similar to this is selective listening. I know we're touching on little details here, but sometimes it's good just to think about them. That is listening to only what is of interest to me. This can be initiated by some tune-out subjects. Some of the subjects, you know, there's probably quite a number of them, but money, sport, shopping, and do we click off when those words are mentioned? Undisciplined listening. At this very moment, you're hearing what I'm saying, I trust, but we need to discipline ourselves to concentrate on what's being communicated, and very much so when we're talking with our spouse. our mind will be running off thinking about all sorts of other things. You know, things we've got to do, problems waiting for you at work tomorrow morning, and so on. You know, we think at least 5 times faster than we can talk. So you know what that means? You've got 80% of the time to be off thinking about other things. So you're thinking 5 times faster than I'm speaking. And so there's room to become undisciplined in our listening. The fourth point I shared this morning is positive communication. Proverbs, again, I said, is a treasure house of instruction on good communication. Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Now that's a beautiful illustration, only as God could put it. A word fitly spoken. How many times do you fitly speak a word? And I think it will only happen as we become convinced and determined in being godly in our communication and committed to it. Fitly spoken like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and the soul is the mind, emotions, and will, of course, and health to the bones. It's a delight to hear pleasant words. Proverbs 15:23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? A word spoken in due season. How good is it? And good in the sense of it's what it accomplishes. Luke 6:31, and as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. That's a good principle in communication. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. It's part of spirit, it's connected with spiritual growth. Where verse 25, where putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour, with his wife and or her husband, for we are members one of another. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Where is that going to be communicated primarily? Kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another. It's going to come out in our speech, in our communication, in our manner with one another. God intended marriage to be an intimate relationship built upon mutual understanding between husband and wife. And for this communion of heart to occur, our conversation must go beyond the superficial level and reach up to thoughts and feelings and our deepest experiences. Two becoming one flesh is far more than the physical, but develops into the depth where we are truly one. And this is only possible if we are first in a right relationship with God. Happily married people communicate well. The heart of marital oneness is the communication system. Thus, the ability to communicate well is a fundamental skill essential to the growth of the marriage relationship. Although strong marriages seem to have the same problems, areas as weaker marriages, we all face the same difficulties, they apparently succeed because the husband and wife are communicating effectively. So we've covered a lot of ground, a lot of teaching from God's word and its application, but it's all theory until we are willing and determined to live it. So the challenge for you today, will you agree with what God has said to you today, and will you agree to act upon and put into place those things he's pointed out to you? Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you have instruction for us on every aspect of life. And thank you, Father, for your wonderful design in marriage and the family, set right back there at the beginning. But, Lord, also we see an aspect of that is our willingness, our determination to fully communicate one with another in that fullness of that relationship. In communication. Father, we would pray that we might seek after your ways and do that which is right and pleasing to you and of course, which is great benefit to ourselves. We pray in the Saviour's name. Amen.